Welcome back to the show, Chef.
Before we get into this episode, I want to tell you where this came from. What you're about to hear started inside last month's Leadership Lab. Not as a podcast idea, not as content. It started as a live conversation with chefs who were burned out, frustrated, and quietly questioning whether the problem was the work or something deeper. What surfaced in that room was simple but uncomfortable. The truth. Most burnout isn't caused by workload. It's caused by misalignment. And once that landed, everything else snapped into focus. Now here's where that matters for the Chef Life Brigade. Inside the brigade, we don't just talk about ideas and hope they stick. We use tools like Notebook LM, ChatGPT, Claude, and other forms of generative IA and agents to lock clarity in place. Not to replace thinking, not to automate judgment, and definitely not to turn chefs into content machines. I know there's a lot of anxiety right now around AI, especially in our industry. It's only because they don't know how to use the tools. People are worried about being replaced, exposed, or left behind. That's not what this is. We use these tools the way you'd use a notebook, a whiteboard, or a Sharpie on the back of a prep list to slow things down, to reflect what was actually said, and to help you hear yourself more clearly. This episode is an example of that process. It's not motivation. It's not a pep talk. It's an orientation or a change in orientation. If you've been carrying weight that doesn't belong to you, if you've been confusing motion with leadership, if you've been wondering why rest hasn't fixed the exhaustion, listen closely. This came from real chefs in a real room asking real questions. So, let's get into it.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be taking all those complex insights, all that hard-won clarity from the Culinary Leadership Lab, and really locking them into place. This is tailored reinforcement designed specifically for you.
Exactly. Our goal here is absolute precision. This isn't about general motivation. We've distilled a stack of really powerful reflections from that session.
Yeah, right.
And our mission now is to just reinforce that essential leadership insight.
Yeah.
And I think to clearly name the mindset shift that's required for long-term identity alignment.
And it all really came down to a core paradox, didn't it? This distinction between leadership defined by, well, frantic effort.
Yeah, notion.
And leadership anchored in a grounded presence. The ultimate lesson was that leadership starts with how you carry yourself through the day, not how much weight you try to carry.
And to even begin addressing that, the session had to establish a very specific working container. We agreed we weren't there to fix, rescue, or give advice.
Which is hard.
It is. That restriction itself is the first signal of the shift, because we're all so used to jumping straight to solutions, even when we don't really know the problem. The sources emphasize that before you can solve anything, you have to locate the weight you're carrying that isn't yours.
Okay, so let's unpack that root problem immediately. The foundational realization from the lab was, it was incredibly stark. Most burnout is not from workload, but it's from misalignment. That's a huge claim. It suggests, you know, just changing your hours isn't going to solve the core issue.
It's not about volume. It's about friction. The source material details two main types of misalignment. The first is external, you know, a disconnect between the expectations placed on you.
Stated or unstated.
Right. And the reality of your resources. But the second type, the one that truly, truly drains leaders, is entirely internal.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for you listening. Adam Lamb pointed out that this internal misalignment is this chasm between your current reality and an internalized ideal. For example, you might be a high-volume factory manager in your day-to-day role running a massive operation, but your self-perception, your internal ideal, is telling you that you should be a high-end, bespoke chef focused on artistry.
And that just creates this constant subconscious struggle. Every single day, you are fighting the reality of your job because it doesn't align with the identity you believe you should have.
Right.
That gap, that feeling of being an imposter in your own role, that is the true weight that leads to exhaustion no matter how many hours you work.
So how do you resolve that? How do you stop fighting reality? Tony brought up the absolute necessity of operational definitions.
This is so key.
It is. If you're running a team or a business, what does that actually mean in practice?
An operational definition, it just means both parties, you and the organization, have to be crystal clear and aligned on the specific focus, the priorities, and crucially, the boundaries of the role.
Because without that clarity.
Well, without it, even the most talented people are just set up for failure. They end up trying to be all things to all people.
We saw that emotional clarity in Simon's realization. I mean, his company is called Culinary Mechanic. Mm. And he had to confront the raw fact that so much of his time was spent being, and this was his term, a FEF mechanic.
Just managing logistics, systems, processes.
Exactly. And that identity was in direct conflict with the romanticized ideal of the chef that he was carrying around.
But that confrontation, it's liberating, isn't it? Once he operationally defined his role as a mechanic who fixes systems, he could stop spending energy fighting reality and start actually leading within it.
It gave him permission.
It did. Permission to prioritize fixing the systems, which is what the business needed, rather than chasing this identity of artistry, which was just an internal demand. That shift from fighting the role to owning the definition of it, that's the first step toward presence.
That makes perfect sense. And once you clarify the internal role, the next logical step is to address how you interact with the external system, which takes us to the framework for that, Adam Lamb's leadership loop.
Yes, the loop. It provides a really necessary structure for leaders to move from just, you know, seeing dysfunction to actually enacting permanent change. It has five steps, starting with sensing a problem.
Which just requires presence, paying attention.
That's it. Then you move to naming it. And the source has made a huge point here. Naming the problem automatically means you are owning it.
You can't just name it and walk away.
No. You can't name a problem and then delegate the responsibility for its solution or the consequences of naming it. It prevents system blaming.
Oh, okay.
When you own the problem you name, you stop waiting for someone else to fix the culture or the structure. It puts the responsibility for modeling the change squarely on your shoulders.
So after naming and owning, you communicate it, and then you have to model the correct behavior yourself.
Exactly. And those first four steps, sensing, naming, communicating, modeling, they're challenging enough.
Hmm.
But the sources all emphasize that the real difficulty, the true test of presence, is that final step.
Holding the line.
Holding the line. And why is that so hard? Because it requires you to face friction head on. As the lab session revealed, keeping people happy is not necessarily the same thing as providing a safe, fair, and equitable environment.
Right. So if you try to create an equitable environment, let's say by enforcing a new rule that everyone clocks out on time, no more mandatory overtime, you might get pushback.
You will get pushback from high performers who like to overwork or from managers who feel their safety buffer is now gone.
And that initial discomfort, that means you're choosing integrity and long-term health over short-term emotional comfort for other people.
Exactly. And that willingness to prioritize integrity over momentary happiness requires a profound grounding in presence. Which brings us right to the core mindset shift the coaching session was targeting.
Moving away from extracting self-worth from effort.
And anchoring it in presence and clarity.
Let's look at the honesty in those reflections about unnecessary weight. Simon, again, he talked about constantly over-delivering in his coaching role.
The spreadsheets.
Creating these elaborate, non-core deliverables, like spreadsheets, for clients that hadn't even asked for them. He recognized he was prioritizing motion over impact.
He was trying to prove his worth through the sheer visibility of his work. The value wasn't being extracted by the client from the spreadsheet. It was being extracted by Simon from the effort of creating it.
It's a self-validation mechanism.
Totally. Disguise is excellent service. He realized his self-worth was dependent on his effort, not on the client's actual needs or the results.
And if you're listening, we all have our version of Simon's spreadsheets, don't we? That extra email, that report that's way too detailed, the non-core task we tackle just to feel busy.
It's universal. Now, contrast that internal extraction with Tony's challenge, which was more external. Tony struggled with carrying the emotional weight of outcomes after she'd provided consultation.
Ah.
She could give perfect advice, but then she'd ruminate over whether the client implemented it successfully or if the result was perfect.
That's the external personalization of failure. You've done your job. You've modeled the behavior, but you can't control the client system or their follow through.
And that inability to control the result becomes a huge source of stress. It is the ultimate source of emotional clutter. Tony had to consciously practice the phrase, not my circus, not my monkeys, just to create emotional boundaries.
So the synthesis of both Simon's, his effort extraction, and Tony's outcome personalization
is the key reinforcement. Stop seeking internal fulfillment through excessive effort and stop seeking external validation through controlling results. Instead, ground your leadership in presence and clarity.
So the shift isn't about being lazy. Not at all.
No. It's about ensuring every single unit of effort is perfectly aligned with the operational goal and that it isn't being used as a crutch for your self-worth.
Yeah.
When you are present, you know what's yours to hold and what belongs to the system or the client.
That's identity alignment in action.
Yeah.
And that realization of personal agency, of what you control and what you don't, that brings us to the final and maybe the most challenging part of the coaching conversation, the power of choice.
Mm. The sources reference that anecdote about a woman at a retreat who feared that real transformation, real deep-seated change, might ultimately lead to her leaving her husband.
Right. And that just illustrates the sheer terror of admitting you still have a choice.
It's terrifying because choice carries risk. It's emotionally easier to feel trapped, to believe the path is already dictated, because then you eliminate the risk of making the wrong decision.
You sacrifice future freedom for present comfort.
That's it. And that's why inaction is often the path of least resistance. What the leaders in the lab understood is that our current inaction is usually dictated by choices or agreements we made years ago that we've never revisited.
Precisely. And that's what makes Simon's anchor point so powerful. The core question always, always returns to, what's the goal? If your choices don't support that stated goal, they are misalignment fuel. Progress depends entirely on consciously reviewing those old, unchallenged agreements that are now dictating your life.
Which requires that first principle thinking, Adam Lamb mentioned. You have to break things down to their fundamental nature without assumptions. And I think Adam was saying that beating yourself up over a past choice is just unproductive.
Of course.
Because a choice that was valid then might no longer be valid today. Context changes everything.
Right. And Tony added to this, emphasizing that finding peace isn't about sticking to one single answer. It comes from understanding the system and the current context.
The choices you made when you were a chaotic floater manager are probably irrelevant now that you're building a structured new company. You have to be present enough to assess the rules of the room now.
And that just ties it all together, doesn't it? The central lesson is the importance of slowing down, of being present, to ask questions in the moment, rather than operating on old assumptions, old choices, or old definitions of who you should be. You have to be present to the reality of the room, not the memory of a past kitchen.
And when you're truly present, you're grounded. And the need for all that excessive effort, it just melts away because you're operating from a place of clarity.
So let's bring this all back to you, the listener. We've reinforced the core insight. Leadership is defined by presence, how you carry yourself, and clarity, achieving those operational definitions using first principle thinking. It is not defined by the magnitude of effort or the amount of weight you carry. So what's the practical, grounded step forward?
The session ended by asking for one small way I can embody that this week. It can't be a massive overhaul. It has to be a single structural change.
Okay.
For Tony, the suggested action was to create a formalized feedback or closure email template to send when she leaves a project. That small structural action creates an emotional boundary, it documents her input, and it prevents her from carrying the outcome into the next week.
And for Simon, it meant setting rigorous, visible time limits on those non-core over-delivering tasks. These small, consistent actions. They replace the compulsion for unnecessary motion with the power of being intentionally grounded.
You replace the shoulds with the is.
And these are the small ways you shift your identity over the long term. You're embodying the clarity you've gained.
The clarity is what changes the weight of the day.
And the true measure of a successful chef or a successful leader, it's defined by their version of success, not by external expectations or old internalized ideals.
Clarity is enough. It's enough to start shifting how you carry your days, your team, and yourself. If you are present enough to define success on your own terms, what previously felt like overwhelming identity-draining weight, it simply becomes a manageable part of the day's reality. The power to choose that new reality is and always has been yours.
What you just heard didn't come from theory. It came from chefs in a room doing the hardest work of all, slowing down long enough to tell the truth about where they're misaligned, experiencing that truth in real time, but reflected back from a third perspective. Inside the Chef Light Brigade, this is how we work. We use conversations like this and tools like generative AI, not to replace thinking, not to automate leadership, but to help chefs hear themselves more clearly and hold on to that clarity once it shows up. Because once you hear your words coming back to you from a new angle, it changes how you hear it and how deep it goes. Really? Did I say that? I don't remember that. I know there's a lot of anxiety right now around AI in our industry. This isn't about being replaced or left behind. It's about using the right tools to steady yourself, reflect honestly, and make better decisions on purpose. And on time. If this episode resonated, you'll find more of this work, along with live conversations and practical support, inside the Brigade. And a quick thank you to our sponsors who help make these conversations possible and support chefs doing the work of staying in it without losing themselves. Our friends at AB Tech Culinary Program in Asheville, North Carolina, and Carolina Health and Wellness doing their level best to keep me in the best shape of my life. Links are in the show notes. Until next time, stay tall and frosty and lead from your heart. Yeah, your heart. What? Yeah, Connie, I'm coming. I'm almost complete. That's a wrap for today's episode of Chef Life Radio. If this resonated with you, do me a favor. Subscribe, share, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more culinary leaders like you who are ready to take their kitchens to the next level. Want more? Connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or join our Chef Life Radio community for exclusive insights and leadership tools. Remember, leadership isn't about perfection, it's about progress. So take what you've learned today and apply it in your kitchen, your team, and your life. Chef Life Radio is more than just a podcast, it's a movement. The focus is no longer just on career survival, but on transforming leadership, creating sustainability, and ensuring chefs can build kitchens that thrive. Remember, the secret ingredient to culinary success isn't just in the food, it's in the leadership. Keep learning, keep growing, and as always, lead with the heart. See you next time.